2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Shut him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball. It's Wednesday, November 9th, 2016. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, brought to you by ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight, along with my partner, Jim Chesko. And, Chet, we've got another show full of Eagles football with Bleeding Green Nation's Brandon Lee Gauton and North Dakota State offensive coordinator and quarterback coach Randy Hedberg.
Yeah, Bill, we were hoping to talk about a 5-3 Eagles team at the midpoint of the season, but things didn't quite work out the way we had it all planned on Sunday. So we will try to figure out what the problems are and how the Birds might do with a tough schedule over the next few weeks.
Well, I've been following along with Brandon a little bit on Twitter since Sunday, and I think he's going to have a whole lot of input into this conversation.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, well, hey, before we get started, let's let our listeners know that we will have our Carl's Cards Collectibles trivia question tonight about 7:21, a little earlier than normal. We'll be giving away the signed 8x10 color photo of Flyers legend and Stanley Cup champion Reggie Leach to the first person that calls and correctly answers our trivia question. The ShopForKisses.org phone line to answer that trivia question is 929-477-2855. Write it down. It's 929-477-2855. So, Chet, the Eagles are a little hard to figure out at this point in the season, and they're certainly competing every game. They're just not winning in the end. So we're going to try to sort through all that with our special guest making his fourth trip to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, Bleeding Green Nation's Brandon Lee Gauton. Brandon, welcome back.
Hey, guys. Actually, no longer with Bleeding Green Nation. Now with PhillyMag.com, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
It's 24/7. September.
Huh.
Why did we not know that?
Okay.
We will fix that. So what is it, Philly
cool.
Mag?
Yeah, PhillyMag.com, Birds 24/7.
Gotcha. Okay.
We learned something already.
Absolutely. Hey, let's get right to it. Brandon, thanks for joining us again. And 4 losses in 5 games, leaving the Birds at 4-4 on the season, last place in the division, some questionable play calls by Doug Peterson over the last 2 weeks, a rookie quarterback suffering some growing pains, I guess. What did happen these last couple of games?
Oh, man. You can look at a number of plays, I feel like, from these games where you can almost point to, like, one play, you know, the whole game changes in the Eagles' favor. It's really hard, you know, for the Eagles, especially when you're in these close games and you just can't close out. It's frustrating because, you know, you look at this Eagles team, and I can't say, you know, I don't think you can say it's a bad team, because I don't think a bad team would be in all of these games. You know, it's not like they've been blown out or anything. But at the same time, you know, good teams need to be able to finish, and the Eagles have been able to do that, especially when it's been playing on the road. Each game, it's kind of like a new thing. Sometimes, you know, in the Dallas game, Doug Peterson really didn't make a good play call decision on that 3rd and 8 and then decided not to go for a field goal from 53, even though Caleb Sturgis had hit a 55-yarder earlier in the game. You look at the Giants game last week, and Carson Wentz kind of throws 2 picks right off the bat, and that already puts you in the hole. And then Doug Peterson, you know, obviously drawing questions for his decision to go on 4th down, which I was okay with, but still, you know, it's a position where people are going to question with it. And it just feels like the Eagles just can't find that winning formula and can play a complete game yet.
Yeah, I'm with you. The decision to go for it on 4th down wasn't as bad as the plays that were called for those 4th down plays, especially that first one, the quarterback roll out to the left, the quarterback sweep, whatever you want to call it. It looked like there were 2 guys blocking against 5 or 6 Giants, which is not a good situation. So I didn't like that call at all. Anyway, a lot of people are saying right now, it's clear that the Eagles need a playmaker or two for Carson Wentz. I guess that's pretty obvious to everybody. Do you agree?
Absolutely, and it's just a shame for the Eagles, you know, because you can't really do anything too much in season here. You're kind of stuck with what you have. The Eagles are trying to work Bryce Treggs more in, and we saw him have a big catch, 58-yard catch against the Giants. And maybe that's something that becomes more of a routine thing, but, you know, it's probably unrealistic to expect him to suddenly be doing that on a routine basis. You know, obviously being an undrafted rookie free agent, he might be a player who can do that every once in a while, but, you know, you're not going to have a go-to guy probably who's going to emerge in this offense, and it's almost like you're kind of just waiting until after the season until the Eagles can do something about that.
Brandon, it looked like, you know, early in the season, the Eagles start out 3-0. They look like they're world beaters. Doug Peterson is a hero. Carson Wentz flies in, you know, with a cape on, and everything is looking great. Now all of a sudden we're 1-4. Peterson's a bum. Wentz is a rookie struggling. Is this team somewhere in the middle?
Yeah, again, I really find it hard to believe the Eagles are a bad team. Again, they're in these games. They're in position to win these games. I don't think the Eagles have, except for maybe the Washington game where I think the Eagles got outplayed, I don't think it's ever been a case of where the Eagles just clearly got beat by the better team. I think, you know, they had chances to win these games and they blew it. I think when you look at the advanced metrics like Football Outsiders, DVOA, the Eagles still rank number one over, which is crazy considering they're 4-4, and they're still third overall in point differential, and they have some big wins over you know, good teams like the at home and the Steelers, and not only, you know, just good wins, but they absolutely killed the Steelers, and, you know, they dominated the Vikings pretty much too for the most part, winning by 11 points, and the Minnesota scored a garbage time touchdown at the end. So this isn't a bad team in my mind. I do think, you know, they've had some tough breaks here. Obviously, the schedule has done them no favors, having to face three straight teams coming off their bye weeks. And then this Sunday against the Falcons, they're coming off Thursday night football, so they have a couple extra days rest too. It's just kind of been a rough go for the Eagles here. You know, I think, you know, they're obviously not a great team, and they have a flawed roster. They need more talent and offense and things like that. But I'm inclined to think they're a little bit better than this 4-4 record would show.
Well, as a quick follow-up to that, with all that said, is, you know, I think most people thought 4 wins, 5 wins, maybe 6 wins at most. Would you look at it, you know, glass half full? Is this team actually maybe ahead of schedule with what they got?
Yeah, I think there's some merit to that. I think, you know, I think Doug Peterson overall on the whole has done a good job, and I think the fact that the Eagles are here at this point is a testament to what he's done as a coach, because I don't think you're looking at this roster and saying the talent has carried him to 4 wins. I think it's more of the coaching has been better there. I think there are some encouraging signs. You know, the defense is playing well overall. Special teams looks good for the most part again, too. I think the offense has some work to do, but, you know, they've been able to do enough to win some of these games here. Yeah, I think overall, you know, there's encouraging signs. And really this whole season, you could argue, is just about the development about Carson Wentz. And, you know, obviously he's had some bumps in the road recently, but overall you're kind of convinced, I think, or at least you get the impression that he's a franchise quarterback that the Eagles can build around. And then from here on out, it's, you know, the big question is going to be, you know, can they surround him with the right pieces? And that's up to Howie Roseman to fix that.
Hey, Brandon, I like Darren Sproles a lot. I really do. The guy's had a great career. He's a warrior. He always plays hard. But I'm questioning the decision to make him the number one back, as Doug Peterson said was the case right now. Wouldn't it make more sense to, you know, see what Ryan Matthews has in the tank, or to give one of the younger guys, Barner or Smallwood, some carries, rather than say, yeah, it's Sproles as the number one guy? Tell me why it makes sense to go with Darren Sproles as the number one guy.
Yeah, it's just not an ideal situation right now. I mean, I think they've given Ryan Matthews the chances, and he hasn't been productive, and he's had two really inexcusable fumbles. I mean, just really bad mistakes, and that's going to cost the team. And Ryan Matthews has also hurt a lot, so you kind of, you know, he's not a very reliable player. And he's not a long-term piece in the future. Now, neither is Darren Sproles, but I think Sproles is just playing so well. He's almost forcing the Eagles to use him so much, because really, who else on offense right now are you going to really rely on a reliable player to make a big play for you? I think Sproles, you know, can do that, and he's been effective. I agree, you know, it's concerning to be having to rely on him. I mean, you look at his seasons where he's had the most rushing attempts per game, and those seasons haven't been very productive for him in the past. Now at 33 years old and kind of, you know, reaching the end of his career, you would figure, you know, that might not be able to hold up. He's been good so far. But, yeah, I think the Eagles definitely need to get Smallwood mixed in there. Obviously, he's a rookie, and he's a player for the future. You know, the Eagles not only need to see what he can do now, but hopefully get a sense of what he's worth moving forward. And then even a guy like Kenyon Barner. I mean, he's played well in very limited snaps. I mean, why shouldn't that guy get more playing time? I think he's earned it as well.
I mentioned the need for playmakers earlier, and you mentioned Bryce Treggs. We saw him make his debut on Sunday, a couple of pretty good catches, two big first down plays, that one long one, 58 yards. Does Treggs have potential?
I think he definitely has what something other Eagles receivers haven't shown, and that's a skill set. You know, we know he can go deep. I think you look at some of these other receivers, and I'm not sure what they're really supposed to do well. Like, I don't really know what Nelson Agholor is good at, actually. I mean, it's crazy to think that in his NFL debut as an undrafted rookie free agent, Bryce Treggs caught two passes for 69 yards. The most amount of receiving yards Nelson Agholor has in a single game is 65, and he's played in 20 more games than Bryce Treggs, and he was a first-round pick. So, yeah, so it's very alarming that Agholor has not been able to produce. It just doesn't look good for him. So I think the opportunity really is here for Treggs if he continues to produce. Doug Peterson said on Monday that, you know, he does expect Treggs to continue to have a bigger role moving forward. I do think the Eagles need to get him involved, especially when a guy like Agholor, who's playing the second most snaps of any receiver, isn't really giving you anything.
Brandon, let's switch over to the defense. And I've been on the record for a long time that I am not a real fan of Brandon Graham. Having started only 23 games prior to this year and in six seasons as an Eagle, this year, props to him. He's playing like a Pro Bowler. What's up with Brandon Graham?
I just think this scheme is really right for him. And, yeah, I think he's honestly, if not the best player on the – oh, he's definitely, I would say, the best player on the defense. You know, you might be able to make a case for Rodney McLeod, who's played really well too. But I just think Brandon Graham really brings it every week. It feels like when the Eagles are having these kind of disappointing games where no one's really playing well or things are kind of down, even like it was against the Giants last week, you know, Brandon Graham still comes to play every single week, and he's there making plays. And I think he's a great fit for the 4-3. I think, you know, that was the scheme he was drafted to play in. He's just a really good 4-3 defensive end. He has a lot of power. He's not your typical size guy, speed guy kind of rusher. He's more of a, you know, old-fashioned, just powerful defensive end. He can really break down his opponents. And I think it's, you know, you mentioned it. I think Pro Bowl, All-Pro consideration is really – he's really deserving of that. He's played really well this year.
All right, Brandon,
yes,
this Sunday, the Falcons and Eagles, a pick 'em according to Vegas, surprisingly. In fact, some places have the Eagles favored by one. Can the Eagles win this battle of the birds at the link?
I think they can because, you know, they've played so well at home. I mean, like, they crushed the Browns. Obviously, it's just the Browns. But they crushed the Steelers, who were, you know, Big Ben was healthy at the time, and they didn't have Le'Veon Bell. But D'Angelo Williams came into that game leading the NFL in rushing. So the Steelers' offense is playing well heading into that game. The Eagles only held them to 3 points. The Vikings were obviously 5-0 and coming off a bye headed into Philly. And the Eagles totally shut them down for most of the game. I think there's reason to believe the Eagles can win this game. Personally, I wouldn't pick them because the Falcons' offense is averaging 34 points. I think that's going to be a lot for this Eagles offense to kind of have to match. I think, you know, the Eagles' defense might not let the Falcons' offense go totally crazy like that. But still, I think, you know, the Falcons are going to get theirs to some extent. And I think, you know, we've seen this Eagles' offense kind of struggle to score in recent weeks, and that could be the case against the Falcons.
Brandon, I'm going to switch back over to the offense for you because I think we couldn't let you go without asking you about the play of Jason Kelce. Boy, he looks like he struggles just about every time he goes out on the field. And that being the case, are they in a position, you know, obviously without Barber injured, but are they in a position to move Wisniewski over and possibly bring the other rookie in, or are they going to have to play this out with Kelce?
I think they're going to have to play it out with Kelce. You know, the struggles are apparent there. He's kind of just playing barely well enough to kind of hold on to that job. It's a shame because, you know, you look at Jason Kelce, and he's obviously one of the most respected leaders and members on the team, and really being able to control the offensive line and making all those calls and having that rapport with Carson Wentz is obviously valuable, the relationship between a center and a quarterback. But at the same time, you know, he's not really looking like a long-term fixture at that position anymore. You know, you're concerned about him moving forward. I do think if he were to get replaced, which I don't see anytime soon, Doug Peterson has mentioned that rookie third-round pick Isaac Suamalo has actually gotten some reps at center, and obviously that's where he played in college at Oregon State. So I think it's possible that Suamalo could come in, if not this year, in the future for sure, to replace Jason Kelce at center, and the Eagles looking elsewhere to start guards, different guards.
All right. So, Brandon, given this week's big political news and our new president-elect, what needs to be done to make the Eagles great again?
I really think,
well,
you know, you just need more talent. I mean, as simple as that is, and as not simple as it is in terms of finding it, I think you just need more talent on this offense. We talked about it earlier in the show. Carson Wentz needs more weapons to work with. I mean, a lot of people have talked about how great Dak Prescott has been for the Cowboys, but, I mean, he's had Dez Bryant. He's had Cole Beasley, who's a good slot receiver for them. You know, he's had a good offensive line. He has Ezekiel Elliott, who's one of the best running backs in the NFL as a rookie. So, you know, if you gave Carson Wentz those kind of weapons, you know, there's no doubt in my mind he would have that kind of success. So that's really the big challenge for the Eagles moving forward again is being able to find those right pieces to surround him with and give him weapons.
All right. Well, hey, Brandon, I think you know, because you've been here now for the fourth time, each show we do a segment called Fast Five, where basically Chet asks five pretty simple questions and you give five pretty simple answers. You up for that tonight?
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. Brandon, who will end up leading the Eagles in rushing this season?
Darren Sproles.
Looks that way. Jason Kelce, Jason Peters, Michael Kendricks, Doriel Green-Beckham. Will any of those four be back with the Eagles next season? And if so, who?
I think Jason Peters could be back. I think, you know, he's a big presence for them. I think Doriel Green-Beckham could also. Doug Peterson talked today about how he hasn't had the benefit of being in the system, so I think they want to give him at least one more offseason and see what he can do.
Plenty of candidates for this one, but which Eagle has been the biggest disappointment this season?
I have to say Zach Ertz, because, you know, he received that contract extension and he's not really giving you that kind of production. I think there's actually a stat where he ranks something like 70th out of 70 tight ends in yards after the catch. He's just not really giving the Eagles the kind of weapon they need.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not good. Ertz, Aguilar, Kelce, Kendricks, Curry, a lot of candidates, like I said. As it stands right now, which position is the biggest area of need next season? O-line, wide receivers, linebacker, or secondary?
It's a really good question. For me, I think I think the Eagles will go this way too, so that's part of the reason I'm going to say it. It has to be offensive line. I think, you know, your tackle situation is definitely suspicious. I know I said Jason Peters, I think he might be back, but there's also a good chance, you know, he's 36. He might just be done after this year. Lane Johnson, obviously, with his suspension situation, if he gets suspended a third time, he's out for 2 years. So you really have to figure out what's going on there and get a replacement offensive tackle.
And finally, Brandon, looks like the Cowboys are the best team in the NFC right now, much as that pains me. The Patriots may be heading to another Super Bowl. It is the midpoint of the season. What is the most likely Super Bowl 51 matchup?
Patriots, I almost have to say that for sure. They look like they're ahead of everyone in the NFL. So they're an easy pick on that side. I don't think I can say the Cowboys for the NFC. I think the NFC is a little more interesting. I think it's a little more closer race. I think the Eagles, you know, had that game against the Cowboys in Dallas. But I don't know. I think the Falcons could be right there. That offense is so good. The defense is a little bit suspect, but when you're scoring 34 points a game, I mean, you're going to win a lot of games.
All right. Thanks, Brandon. Good job playing Fast Five once again.
Thanks, Kurt.
Hey, Brandon, before we finish up, can you go ahead and give the listeners your website information? You still have your blog going on, just a different name as well?
Yeah, it's at phillymag.com/birds247. And obviously, you can. I'm still doing the podcast with BGN Radio, so you can also check that out. And you can follow me on Twitter. That's at Brandon Gowton, BrandonGowton.
Perfect.
Great.
All right.
Brandon, thanks, Brandon.
We certainly appreciate you joining us again, and let's do it again.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Take it easy.
All right. Take care.
Thanks. All right, Jed, it's trivia time, and we will be giving away this signed 8x10 color photo of Flyers legend and Stanley Cup champion Reggie Leach, courtesy of Carl's Cards and Collectibles, to the first person that can call and correctly answer our trivia question. The shop for Kisses Dodger phone line to answer that trivia question is 929-477-2855. And, Jed, I'm going to give you props because you actually sent me this trivia question, and I thought it was worthy of use. How's that?
All right, good.
Here we go. Somebody going to get this, I hope. We need to give this Reggie Leach picture away. Caleb Sturgis went 3-for-4 on field goal attempts last week, ending his consecutive field goal streak at 18, ranking as the second longest in team history. Who has kicked the most consecutive field goals in Eagles history? Okay. Caleb Sturgis went 3-for-4 on field goal attempts this week, ending his consecutive field goal streak at 18, ranking as the second longest in team history. Who has kicked the most consecutive field goals in Eagles history? There we go. All right, Chet, let's move on and while the listeners are thinking of that.
Hey, by the way, if you watched Sunday's Eagles game, which I'm sure most of you did if you're listening to this show, they mentioned the answer to this trivia question on the game broadcast on Sunday. So there's a little hint for you.
They did? Yes, they did.
Hey, where the heck's Fred, by the way?
I don't know. Is Fred not with us?
Fred is not with us. Did you tell him we were expecting him earlier tonight?
I certainly did. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do, Jet. Let's move on. We'll catch Fred when we catch him, and so we'll come back to that. But we're going to shuffle the deck here. And as you know, what we did is we had a chance last week to sit down with North Dakota.
We do have
State
Fred. Let's get to Fred. Hey,
where's Fred?
We do
Fred?
Have Fred.
All right, play some music. Bring him on. Let's go, Fred and Butter.
Let's do it. Let's find the music for Fred to make it official, because that's his official greeting.
All right. It's officially Fred's Butter time, even though he's a little tardy today. Our special guest, Fred Hugo, joins us to break down this week's NFC East games. And, Fred, welcome back.
Sorry, my daughter... She was getting a little crazy there. I didn't want to have a screaming baby in the background, but we're all good now.
I understand.
It happens. It happens. All right. Hey, Fred, before we get to the games, go ahead and gloat on your 3-0 last week and tell us what the standings are right now.
3-0. It was good, but I could as very well go 0-3 this week or 0-4. But now that brings us to, well, Bill, you were 2-1. Chet, you were 1-2. So the standings now are me, I'm 19-8-1. Bill, you're 15-12-1. Chet,
that's
you're
enough.
11. Okay, we're done with Chet.
Well,
I know
what
I have, 11-16-1. It's okay.
Hey, I'll tell you what, we're going to make up some ground this week because I'm going all over the place with my picks. So let's get it going. We got four to pick this week, Minnesota at Washington, Dallas at Pittsburgh, Cincinnati Bengals at the Giants on Sunday Night Football. Of course, the Atlanta Falcons come to the link to play the Eagles. Take it away.
Vikings 5-3 coming to the Redskins. They're 4-3-1. Redskins are 3-point favorites. Sam Average Bradford and the Vikings have lost 3 in a row. He's really come back down to earth. He's statistically, he looks all right, but they've been struggling in the red zone. He holds a 99 passer rating and one interception to 9 touchdowns, but as far as yards go, he's ranked 27th. The defense is fast, very fast and aggressive. We saw them confuse Carson much at home. They're giving up under 300 yards per game, 93.1 on the ground, 205 through the air. They really can get to the quarterback and confuse them. I'm looking for Cousins to struggle. The Redskins are coming off a bye and that tie with the Bengals. They're a really tough team to predict. We really don't like hit or miss with them guys. Defensively, they don't fare well against the run, but Minnesota can't really run the ball anyway, so I don't know which way that'll go. Washington's strength is in throwing the ball. That they're the fourth-ranked passing offense in the league. But I just think Minnesota is coming off three losses. They're gonna come back here. The defense is going to be too much for Cousins. He'll end up turning the ball over. As long as Sammy Sleeves dinks and dunks and doesn't try to do anything too special, I think the Vikings will win this 24-20.
Hey, let me just say, all four of these games are really tough. The biggest line is 3 points in this particular game, so each one of these games could go either way. As for this one, the Vikings are reeling, as you mentioned. The Redskins, I guess, are for real. We don't really know for sure. They are at home. Unlike Fred, I've got Washington taking this one 27-20.
And I have not done well with the Redskins, as we know all along, but Washington's going to win this game at home. I'm taking Redskins.
All right.
All right, on to the Cowboys. Cowboys are 7-1 visiting Pittsburgh, who's 4-4. Pittsburgh comes into the game a 2.5-point favorite. Dallas has won 7 in a row, as we all know. Pittsburgh has lost 3 in a row, but I think both of those streaks are going to end Sunday. Dallas has Dak, Ezekiel Elliott, and that dominant offensive line. Defensively, they're only giving up 17.5 points per game. Romo was actually a full participant at practice, though he definitely won't play. I don't even know if he'll be active. Steelers are battling injuries on both sides of the ball. Big Ben's back. Marquise Pouncey underwent surgery, but he may still play. But Dallas' secondary is banged up as well. They faced the Browns last week, so I mean, that wasn't much of a matchup for them to worry about. But this week, with the offensive firepower that Pittsburgh has with Antonio Brown, Wheaton, Coates, Le'Veon Bell, I think Dallas' streak's going to end. Steelers win this 31-23.
If you watched any of Sunday's Steelers-Ravens game, you saw a Steelers team that really struggled to move the ball and a quarterback in Big Ben, who's clearly nowhere near 100%. Yet after that torn meniscus he suffered a month or so back. It pains me to say, but the Cowboys are getting dissed here by Vegas, 2.5-point underdogs to Pittsburgh. The Cowboys, I believe, are going to continue their winning ways. Much as I don't like to pick Dallas, I have to do it again. I'm picking the Cowboys by a field goal.
Well, Fred, you really disappointed me here, because this was a game that I thought I was going to make up a game because I was going to reach out a little bit. If Dallas is going to lose a game, it's going to probably be on the road to a team like the Steelers. I'm going Steelers at home. And it disappoints me, because I was going to make one up on you there. I'm surprised you went that way.
You thought you were
going to
go
that way.
Steeler
I just couldn't do it.
Oh, that's because you love the Cowboys. Go ahead, Fred.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, taking shots. Bengals visit the New York Giants on Monday Night Football. The Bengals are 3-4. The Giants are 5-3 and 2-point favorites, winners of 3 in a row. Bengals are coming off a bye week, as well as that tie against the Redskins, where they gave up 500-plus yards of offense. They've made some adjustments on the defense, though, to try to mend that. Darquez Dennard and Nick Vigil are going to see increased snaps, and they brought back a defensive lineman, Wallace Gilberry. The Giants still cannot run the ball. As we saw last week, Paul Perkins, I was predicting a big game for him. He actually had a career-high 14 touches, but they were still ineffective. They did, however, there was an injury to left guard Justin Pugh, who's from our area but apparently hates Philly now, and he's out 2 to 4 weeks with an MCL sprain. So I think the Giants are going to be completely one-dimensional, and the Bengals have the fourth-ranked passing offense with A.J. Green. They're going to get back Tyler Eifert as well. I don't think the Giants' pass defense is going to keep up. 27-21, I got the Bengals winning this.
Wow, this is going to be 3 in a row that Fred and I differ. And that scares me because of the kind of season I'm having. I know the Giants haven't been all that great this year, but neither have the 3-4-1 Bengals. So for me, when in doubt, I go with the home team, and that's the Giants here, who will somehow improve to 6-3 with a 24-17 victory. Yes, I pick the Giants.
Well, the Bengals are underachieving, as they always do. The Giants aren't very good, but the Giants are at home. It's a night game. I'm going Giants over the lowly Bengals.
Gee, man.
Okay.
And now the game of the week and my lock of the week. All right.
Uh-oh.
The Falcons travel to 6-3, traveling to Philly, winners of two in a row. Eagles have lost two in a row. They're Vegas is, as you said earlier in the show, Chet, are at a pick 'em, or some places even they're favored by one. Matt Ryan, if you got a chance to check out that offense, they've been really rolling. They're ranked second in the league. They feature Julio Jones. They stay pretty balanced, though. With Devontae Freeman, they're going to be getting Tevin Coleman back. They may get him back. But last week, they were completely balanced, 34 runs to 34 pass. The Eagles, we saw what happened last week, in my opinion, ridiculous decision-making and play calling by Doug Peterson cost them the game. But Carson Wentz struggled as well. He wasn't on his game. He was looking at the defenders coming at him and not downfield as much as we would have liked him to And then also the secondary has got exposed a little bit. I think Jalen Mills is going to get a little bit more playing time over McKelvin, and the Eagles get Benny Logan back, which I think is going to open up the pass rush. I think that's going to help Fletcher Cox. I see a big day as far as the defense goes to keep being Matt Ryan's face, keep the pressure on him to at least keep their offense contained. You're really not going to stop them. The Falcons defense, though, they have the 31st ranked pass defense. So I think this is going to be a game where we gush over Carson. He's going to pick them apart and look for Bryce Treggs to connect, him and Bryce Treggs to connect on a touchdown as well. I got the Eagles in a lock winning this 27-24.
Wow. Not only did you pick them, you went with a lock. I like it. I like the attitude. As for me, I'm still trying to figure out why Vegas has this game as a pick 'em, or as you said, the Eagles a one-point favorite. I don't get it. I know the Eagles are 3-0 at home, but come on, Matt Ryan and Julio Jones against the Philly secondary. Now, granted, the Falcons' defense isn't very good. Their secondary stinks, as a matter of fact. And maybe, as you said, the Eagles can actually score some points. I'd love to see it, but I got to pick with my head in this case. So, sorry, Falcons 34, Eagles 24.
How many touchdowns for Julio Jones? We'll throw that in there as a bonus.
Yeah.
Two or three.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, as I looked at this game, I thought there's absolutely no reason to pick the Eagles because of all the reasons you just said, and Julio Jones and Matt Ryan being the biggest two. But, you know, I'm a homer, no doubt about that, and I'm just – absolutely curious of why Vegas thinks this is an even game. They know they know something because they always know something. However they manage to usually get this stuff right is beyond me. So they have put enough doubt in my mind that I am going to put my homer hat on, and I'm going to go Eagles. I'm going to go 31-24 Eagles. And Fred, it's funny you mentioned about a big game from Carson Wentz because I was thinking the same thing. The thing that just scares me, even as bad as the Falcons' defensive backs are, we still haven't proven that we've got a receiver that can catch the football on a consistent basis. So that scares me too. You put bad against bad, you come up with bad, you know. But Vegas has left me close enough that I'm going to wear my homer hat and I'm going to go Eagles.
And I'm just going to be a winner either way because, you know, if I picked Atlanta, which I did, I'm helping the Eagles win because, you know, typically what I pick goes the other way. So I'm helping the Eagles win by picking Atlanta. But if I'm actually right and Atlanta wins, I pick up a game on you guys. So I win either way.
I agree with you last week, Chad. It was nice because – I mean, I obviously wasn't rooting for the Giants, but when I sat down and looked at my pool, I'm like, at least I got to win there. It made the pain go away a little.
Oh, jeez. Yep. I'd rather lose the pool game like I did than have that have to watch that and say, oh, well, I won a game.
Oh, but I was cursing and screaming. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that.
All nice right, job,
well,
Fred.
Okay, so Fred and Chet, let me ask you this because I didn't get to write these down. Do you have all four different picks from each other tonight?
We do.
Correct.
Four in a row, totally different.
Holy cow. Well, Fred, I think I'm closer to you, so I think I'm probably in for a much better week.
We'll see. I've been known to go 0-4.
If I was closer to Chet, I'm not so sure that would be the case. All right,
yeah, you don't want
to
be there with me.
Great job, and let's see what happens. Go Birds.
All right, guys. See you. Go Birds.
Thanks, Fred.
All right, Chet, let's thank our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network at the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. By logging on to www.shopforkisses.org's website, you become connected to over 3,000 stores, including all the big ones you already shop at. Every purchase made gets you cash back, and each purchase benefits the Kisses for Kyle Foundation, which helps families dealing with childhood cancer throughout the Delaware Valley. If you have any questions, contact Bob Sullivan at bobsullivan.shopcom@gmail.com or give him a call at 484-319-8043.
Hey, Bill, let me throw that trivia question out there again, okay? Because we didn't have a caller for the trivia question yet, so let's do it. And if someone calls in during our interview with Randy Hedberg, they'll just, you know, stay on hold, and then we'll get to them as soon as Randy's finished with us. So, again, for the 8x10 color photo of Reggie Leach autographed, the question is, Caleb Sturgis went 3-of-4 on field goal attempts, ending his consecutive field goal streak at 18, and that is the second longest streak in Eagles team history. Who holds the record? Who has kicked the most consecutive field goals in Eagles history? That is our question. Give us a call, and you can win that prize. 929-477-2855.
Okay, Chet, here we go. I'm going to give a hint. Since you gave a hint that said it was on the game the other night, I'm going to give another hint. This is 2016, I believe, isn't it? 2016.
Yes, it is.
The kicker that holds this record has done it since the year 2000. So it's not like we're picking Tony Franklin from 1980. This is from the year 2000 on.
That
so
narrows
think about
it down.
Who's been kicking. Yeah, we want to give away this Reggie Leach photo. How's that?
In the meantime, let's get to our interview.
All right. Well, hey, yeah, as we said, we had a chance last week to sit down with North Dakota State offensive coordinator and quarterback coach Randy Hedberg. He's the man that knows more about Carson Wentz than anybody. It was a great discussion. We couldn't bring Randy on live because he's at practice at this time in North Dakota. So we had to tape the interview, but it's excellent. And we want to give a special thanks to my old friend Steve Pagnoni for helping make this happen. Steve and Randy were teammates way back in the day, and Steve was able to get me in contact with Randy, and we were able to make this happen. So we appreciate that from Steve.
Yes, indeed. A real nice chat with Randy, by the way. So, as you said, it happened before Sunday's game, the interview, so we didn't get to ask him about the picks that Carson threw against the Giants, the failed final drive, et cetera. But still, some great insight into what makes Carson Wentz tick. So, here we go.
We're joined here by former Tampa Bay Bucks quarterback and current North Dakota State quarterbacks coach, Randy Hedberg, who worked closely with a guy by the name of Carson Wentz the last few seasons. Randy, welcome to Philly Press Box Radio.
Well, thanks for having me, Chet. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Eagles fans, of course, pretty confident that Carson Wentz is the real deal and will be the team's franchise quarterback for the next decade. Randy, did you know right away at North Dakota State that this guy had a nice NFL career ahead of him?
Well, you know, interesting enough, Chet, I was coaching. I'm from North Dakota, so I'm originally from the state, and I knew of Carson when he was a high school senior because I was coaching quarterbacks down at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale. And we offered him a scholarship his senior year when I was coaching down in Carbondale. So I knew about Carson. I didn't know how he progressed, you know, through his college days until I got to NDSU in January of 14. And we met for the first time my first day in Fargo after getting hired by Coach Kleiman and his new staff. And, you know, the first thing that pops out with you with Carson is he has great physical size. but he also has very good intelligence. He's a very smart young man, very personable, and has a great personality. And, you know, as you progress through the 2 years that I worked with him, he really has a passion for football. And I think that's showing, you know, in his short time there with the Eagles to this point. So, yes, I guess I did think he had some potential because he had size and he had, you know, strength of arm, and he had the ability to throw pretty accurately, you know, from different angles on the field.
Yeah, I remember hearing you with Michael Barkan of WIP last April before the draft touting Carson's abilities, and you noted that he is really smart and has a terrific ability to quickly process what's happening at the line of scrimmage. That's not typical for a rookie, though, is it?
Not at all, Chet. You know, I think that's the biggest thing that, you know, I try to impress upon NFL personnel is this young man can process extremely fast at the LOS, and he's had that ability, you know, since he's been at NDSU. And the good thing about our system, Chet, at NDSU is that we're a huddle team. We huddle up. And so he's looked those other 10 guys in the eyes in the huddle. So, you know, I think that's important when you're looking at college quarterbacks coming into the NFL. Plus, we do a lot at the line of scrimmage, you know, with protections and changing the plays. And so he's had that thrown at him in his college career. So I sensed it wouldn't be a big transition for him, you know, from that standpoint. You know, I knew the speed of the game would pick up and all the complexities of the game would pick up, but I thought he can handle the processing at the line of scrimmage very well.
Yeah, so the fact that NDSU ran a pro-style offense did help Carson develop his game more quickly?
Yes, definitely. I don't think there's any question. You know, we're one of the very few college programs in the country that huddle right now, and we're an under center team, so he's taking snaps from the center, you know, and we're in the gun also, but so he's done both of those situations. But the thing that's impressive about Carson is his ability to take a play and change the play at the line of scrimmage too, and he's been able to do that numerous times, you know, within our program.
Hey, did I hear that Wentz didn't play quarterback till he was a senior in high school?
Well, what happened is he had a growth spurt, I think probably freshman to sophomore year in high school, had a big growth spurt. So he shot up pretty high. And then he got injured as a junior. I think he had a hand injury. And then, you know, so he played another position. He didn't play quarterback as a junior. So he played as a senior. Hmm. And, you know, so he really, you know, coming into his first game, college start for NDSU was – against in 2014 was against Iowa State, and so he hadn't played a real football game until prior to his senior year, you know, in high school. So, you know, that was quite a transition for him, but he did very well.
Yeah.
You know, we played Iowa State in that first game and we fell behind 14-0, and then we put 34 on the board, so we ended up winning 34-14, and Carson was a big hand in all of that.
Are you surprised at all how well Carson has adapted not only to the NFL but to life in a major city like Philadelphia?
Not really. I don't think anything, you know, here at NDSU, the coaching staff and the players, I don't think we're blown away by what's happened to Carson. You know, he's a very mature young man, and, you know, being a fifth-year senior, I think it helped him a lot in our program. And we played, you know, one thing about Carson, you know, he's played 15, 16 games every year he's been in college. I mean, we played into the national, we've won the last five national championships here at NDSU. So we played 15, 16 games. So the NFL season, you know, we played into January. So I don't think that's going to blow him away. You know, I mean, he's used to playing in November and December and early January. So those things are going to be good for him. But I think his maturity level and how he handles the media, and he's been in the spotlight, you know, at Fargo and you know, in the national spotlight, national championship games, you know, so he's been in front of the media. So I think he handles that extremely well.
Have you talked with him at all lately?
Yeah, he was here for the bye week, and when the Eagles were off, and he spent time with us. Actually, was in the press box with us for our game that weekend that he was here, and so I got to talk to him quite a bit, actually. So he's doing well. We trade messages off, you know, off and on, but, you know, he's a busy guy just like we're busy, so it's hard to make communication on a regular basis.
Everybody wants to make comparisons. Is there any current pro quarterback or, you know, somebody from the recent past that Wentz reminds you of? I hear, you know, Roethlisberger sometimes. Anybody that he reminds you of?
You know, I think that's a really good comparison. You know, he's a, you know, from a size standpoint, and, you know, way back when this process started, you know, they were comparing him to Joe Flacco, and I guess my comparison was only because Joe played at an FCS level program, and that was my comparison because I thought Carson was much better athlete, you know, from a movement standpoint and all. But I think Big Ben moves around fairly well and throws the ball well. So I would think that's a good comparison. I really do.
All right. Now, I'm sure you've been keeping tabs on Carson and the Eagles, and they've really struggled to stretch the field this season, but that's more likely an issue with the receivers that the Eagles have, unfortunately. How well does Carson throw the deep ball?
I think he's gotten much better with that. You know, I know one thing we worked hard on with him here, is, especially his junior, my first year with him, was, you know, getting arc on the ball, you know, on his deep ball, and making sure he had that arc on it so that it could drop in, you know, in a good position. And I think he's really worked on that and improved on that. So I think he's really gotten better at that. And I've noticed, you know, in the games I've been able to watch this season, I think he's throwing that ball well when he gets the opportunity to.
Have you noticed any other changes in his game since he left North Dakota State?
Not really. You know, interesting enough, I remember watching his first game. It might have been his first couple games. And I saw similar throws being made in those games that he made with us. You know, I mean, he made some outstanding throws that just would blow you away, you know, in a college game, you know, just the type of throws he'd make, perceive that he made with them. So I don't think anything's really surprised me that way, but I probably have seen him a little bit more get out of bounds and slide to get away from contact. I guess I've noticed that a little bit more.
Yeah, that's one thing they've been working on him with, for sure. Now, it's clear that Carson has a lot of talent. We know he's very smart. He's got size. What does he have to continue to work on to be an elite NFL quarterback?
I think just being able to play fast, play within the scheme of the offense that the Eagles put together. I think they've really done a great job with Carson, being able to give him – I think there's some things they're doing with the Eagles and the offense of the Eagles that we've done here at NDSU, and I think that matches well with his skill level and his ability to throw the ball quick. You know, I think that's one thing I've noticed. You know, the ball's been getting out of his hand fairly quickly in the last few games, and I think that's really a strength of Carson's because he makes quick decisions. So I do think there's some things that they're doing in their scheme that really benefit Carson and his skill level.
Randy Carson may be gone, but North Dakota State continues to roll along, just one loss so far this season. Will there be another title for the Bison this year?
Well, that's the plan. You know, we've got some tough games ahead of us. We've got a good chance to do well in the playoffs, and that's kind of what the Bison football has been around, is being successful in the playoffs and getting in the national title game.
All right, and you'll continue to keep tabs on Carson Wentz, I'm sure, through it all?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We watch, you know, whatever games we get here in Fargo of the Eagles, we watch every one of them. So, yes, he's got a pretty good fan base here in Fargo as far as Eagle fans that are watching a lot of Eagle games. So that's been fun.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. Randy Hedberg, thanks for joining us on Philly Press Box Radio. Best of luck to you and the Bison the rest of this season.
Thanks for having me, Chet.
Chet, great interview with Randy. You got to sit through it. What was your take? How'd it go? How'd you like it?
Oh, I enjoyed it. He's a smart guy, obviously, and he's really a big fan of Carson Wentz, obviously, after working with the guy for 2 years. You know, of course, he's going to say nice things, but you can tell that he was really sincere about what he thinks of Carson and what he thinks about Wentz's future in the NFL. So that's good to hear as an Eagles fan.
Well, and we always talk about our guests on the show, and we talk about former players and all that get me excited every time we have a former player. But there's nothing to me like talking to a real football coach. It makes my blood pump because I love everything about them.
I'm with you.
All right. Well, hey, let's move on. We had another first-time winner in this week's Philly Press Box Radio Pick'em Pool with an unbelievable 12-1 record. That was Chip Brady, play like a Raven. Unfortunately, that's one of them Baltimore Ravens, but Chip's a good guy, and he finished 12-1. That's why we let him in the league. So in the season standings, to win the signed Eagles Reggie White mini helmet after 10 weeks in the books, I believe, and 1 week drops. After 4 weeks in a row that Gene McCann had the lead, he now relinquishes the lead by just a couple percentage points to Jimmy Wilson. Dave Capper is hanging around. He's just one game back. Dave keeps on having good weeks. And there are still 19 players within 5 games of the season, just a little more than halfway over, Chet. Still plenty of time.
Well, not for me, unfortunately, Bill. I'm down on death row.
Well, Chet, it just doesn't take much. You pull off a 12-1 week, all of a sudden you're back in the hunt.
Yeah, I'm not planning on that. I'm in a rebuilding year.
Okay. All right. I hear you. Well, hey, But hey, we have some guests. Do we have some guests lined up for next week? What we got going on?
Well, we haven't firmed up one of our guests yet for next week, but there will be lots of Eagles talk, of course. Details forthcoming. But we do also have a guy who has a courtside seat at all 76ers home games. In fact, he's had that seat for 22 years now. Are you kidding me? That would be Sixers radio voice, Tom McGinnis. So I'm really looking forward to having him join us on the show next week.
That's going to be fun. And like everybody else that we've talked to, we certainly have to get everything we can out of him about that Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons and Okafor, a whole bunch, and the process. Let's see how the process is going.
Yeah, I've already got about 15 questions written down for Tom, so I can't wait to see what he has to say. Speaking of Joel Embiid, he had one of the greatest tweets last night regarding the presidential election. He said, "Well, America is tanking. All we can do now is trust the process."
I saw that. I got a chuckle out of that this morning. I was just hoping that
that's awesome.
Joel wasn't feeling oppressed.
You're right. Right. That was pretty good on his part, though.
It certainly was. Hey, Chet, our new website, we're now getting into what? We're about 5 weeks old at PhillyPressBoxRadio.com, and this week we set a record. We had over 1,300 visitors. I didn't even check it here tonight. It may have gone over 14 or 15. For the week, and we even missed a day while I was traveling with some personal stuff going on, and boy, again, we just have to say thank you to everyone, and it's just absolutely been amazing.
Yeah, we really do appreciate everyone checking out the site daily. We hope it becomes one of the first things you do every morning. Feel free to hit the bathroom or grab a coffee first if you must, but yes, do check out PhillyPressBoxRadio.com. Lots of good stuff every single day.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep it mixed up where we, you know, where we cover all of the sports. So we're giving you, if there's something good in, I usually check through about four or five or six different newspapers to come up with those articles, and trying to mix it up so you get a little taste of all things Philly sports.
And we welcome your comments, too. I wrote a piece about the Eagles loss to the Giants on Sunday, and I think four or five people commented on that. So we do welcome your comments. There's a spot under every article that we put out there for you to give your comments if you'd like. So, you know, feel free to join in the fun.
That's right. All right, Chet, let's get to our signing update at Carl's Cards and Collectibles. Bernie Perrin will be in the store this Saturday, November the 12th. And Eagles' Bo Allen has been lined up to be in the store in December. So don't forget, you can also have all of your Christmas framing as well. If you've ever seen the framing that's done over there at Carl's Cards, it is sensational. And if you take a, you know, your piece of memorabilia, give it to Carl 1 week, he can almost certainly have it back for you the next week, and just does a fantastic job getting that done, and makes for a great display item, especially with Christmas time coming, Chet. So you might want to nudge somebody at the Chesco House.
Yeah, or you can feel free to buy me something real nice too, Bill. That'd be great.
Well, it entered my mind. I'll make a note. All right, so for all the details, go to the website, our website, PhillyPressBoxRadio.com, and click on Carl's Cards and Collectibles banner at the top, and to take you directly to Carl's website, or stop by Carl's Cards and Collectibles at 22 West Eagle Road, Havertown, PA, or give Carl a call at 610-789-4996. You can also contact Carl on Twitter at Carl's Cards.
Hoping to
All
stop
right,
in let's... Saturday to see Bernie Perrin. I'm hoping to get there, because who doesn't love Bernie Perrin, you know?
No, just Bernie. Newly married Bernard Marcel Perrin.
Yeah, and what a fun guy. So hoping to see him and say hello to Bernie.
Hey, Chet, before we get to your parting shot, I have a question for you. I'm going to shift you a little bit here because we've been talking all football, but we mentioned Joel Embiid, and I wanted to get your take. I'm going to ask you this throughout the season because, I finally got to see a whole game the other night. Of course, I got to see the worst game of the year.
yes, you did.
What do you think about the play of Embiid so far and the fact that he's not making a road trip again because they're not going to play him in back-to-back nights?
Well,
all part of the process, I guess.
Yeah, the play has been, you know, better than we could have expected, certainly. You'd like to see him play more minutes, but they are being very cautious with him, and why not? They're not going to compete for a playoff spot this year. So, you know, just let him get acclimated to the league. Let him get acclimated to playing basketball again on a regular basis. You know, he's been out for 2.5 years, essentially. So, you know, fine. You got his minutes up to 24 a game right now, which is nice. I was a little disappointed that they were not sending him on the road trip tonight. It's not part of a back-to-back game, but I guess this is part of the process. I think they call it load management. So they're giving him the night off, didn't want him to travel to Indiana. Hopefully they know what they're doing. He wanted to play, and that's a good sign. You know, hopefully by February he'll be playing 30, 32 minutes a night, and Ben Simmons will be back in there, and maybe the Sixers will start winning a few games by then too.
And in individual play, I mean, he's just been – I've only gotten to see the highlights on all of his games other than the one game I did get to see, and, boy, he's as good as advertised.
Oh, he is. And one of the networks last night did something where they showed a couple of his baskets where he did an Akeem Olajuwon-type move, and they showed an actual footage of Olajuwon in the same game as the Sixers were playing the other night. And, you know, it looked like – it was an exact duplicate what Embiid was doing, the way Olajuwon did, the fake to the left and then the hook to the right off the backboard. Real nice. So if you're going to model yourself after Hakeem Olajuwon, that's not a bad guy to emulate.
Yeah, pretty good player. That's for absolutely sure. Well, we'll keep tabs on them, and hopefully they're going to start winning some games, but we're certainly going to be keeping an eye on the process.
You know it.
All right. Well, hey, Chet, I'm sure you have a parting shot for tonight. I do not, so go for it.
My parting shot this week, Bill, is about thinking before you speak. First, the Josh Huff situation. Look, Huff was dead wrong, not to mention a bit of a dumbass, for his actions the morning of November 1st, speeding across the bridge from Pennsylvania into Jersey, having a bunch of weed in the car, traveling with an unregistered gun in the vehicle, not to mention those hollow point bullets. That's 4 or 5 dumbass things rolled into one, and that's bad. But then what I think contributed greatly to Huff being cut by the Eagles was what he said to the media the next day. Yes, he apologized, but he also said somewhat flippantly, "What pro athlete don't have a gun?" Huff was released the following morning. Also last week, the NFL Network levied a pretty stiff penalty against analyst Brian Baldinger. He was suspended 6 months without pay for comments he made on the radio the Friday before the Eagles-Cowboys game, suggesting the Birds should intentionally hurt Dallas running back Ezekiel Elliott. Talking to the Fanatics' Anthony Gargano, Baldy said of Elliott, "This is the guy that we've got to take out of the game. There's got to be 10 guys that want to hurt him every single play. In fact, we may even put a little bounty on Ezekiel Elliott." Well, Baldinger spent 11 years in the NFL, including stints with both the Eagles and Cowboys, and he really should know that in light of the whole situation with the Saints a few years ago, the league isn't going to tolerate talk of a bounty or intentionally hurting players. That's just dumb.
Absolutely. What can you say? Maybe Baldy has a little more money than he needs and could afford to take a 6-month vacation. I don't know.
Maybe. Hey, one other quick note. It happened a week ago tonight. Congrats to the Chicago Cubs on that World Series victory. That was 108 years in the making. And, by the way, what a great series it was. So, way to go, Cubbies.
It was, but who cares if the Cubs won? Unless they're the Philadelphia Cubs, I'd rather have the ghost of the goat.
I got you. 90 seconds left, Bill. Wrap it up.
All right. Well, we are at the top of the hour, as you said, so let's thank our special guest, Brandon Lee Galton, and North Dakota State Offensive Coordinator Randy Hedberg, Fred Hugo, Carl's Cards Collectible for their continuing support of the show, Mary Flanagan, our marketing extraordinaire behind the scenes, and our sponsor, ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. For Jim Chetchesco, this is Bill Furman. We hope you enjoy the show. We'll join Philly Press Box Radio next Wednesday night, November 16th at 7 p.m. You can listen to our new website, PhillyPressBoxRadio.com, our Facebook page, or on the Internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/PhillyPressBoxRadio or on both iTunes and Stitcher. High hopes, Philadelphia sports fans.